Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
Black Mountain Institute, based at UNLV, recently celebrated its 20th anniversary. University President Emerita Carol C. Harder founded the Southern Nevada Literary Institution in 2006. But that celebration came on the heels of less happy news. Last fall, the Rogers Foundation said it would be concluding its funding of BMI this June. A statement from BMI Executive Director Colette LaBeouf described that funding as foundational and said it would lead to a transition for the organization. LaBeouf declined to speak with us for this segment. And a note here, Nevada Public Radio's Desert Companion magazine does co-produce a podcast, BMI Conversations, which KNPR managing editor Heidi Kaiser hosts. Kaiser recently sat down to talk about what the Institute has meant to the Las Vegas literary art scene with Scott Dickensheets. He's a cultural critic and Desert Companion's editor-at-large.
Scott, thanks for sitting down with me to reflect on this.
Sure, thanks for having me.
So Scott, you've followed this scene both personally and professionally for a good part of your life, if I'm not mistaken. To illustrate what the arrival of BMI might have meant to the community at large, maybe you can just start by telling me what it meant to you.
I'll start with an anecdote. When Carol Harder stepped down in 2014, I interviewed her for Desert Companion. And she told this great story about how she and her team had organized and laid the groundwork for kind of a far-reaching, nationally important conference on Hunter S. Thompson, author of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Perfect setting, perfect match. But the lawyers for Thompson's estate put the kibosh on it, saying that they were aghast, and that's the word she used, they were aghast at the idea that any kind of scholarly event like that could be held in a city so frivolous as this. So naturally, myself and other bookishly inclined people were delighted, I think, by the arrival of an organization that appeared to be like set to be seriously and confidently interface with a larger literary world in a way that hadn't really been done before or been done in a piecemeal way by various organizations here and there. So I, for one, was like really heartened by it.
Many people will know BMI through the people it brings to town through its programs and fellowships. Currently, we have K.B. Brookins, Isle McElroy, Muriel Lung, and Soretta Morgan. Who are some of the big names or the memorable people that you've met or heard speak over the years?
Well, I saw William Volman. I saw T.C. Boyle, which was really interesting because he was like a more of a mid-list kind of writer then, and yet he packed the house. That made me think, like, there's more literary energy here than I had anticipated. I saw Rachel Kushner, I saw Leslie Jamison. These were all like really important writers in our time. The bigger list, of course, is the writers I wish I had seen. Toni Morrison, Walter Mosley, Joyce Carol Oates, Percival Everett. You could go on and on with the list. And panels that I wish I had seen, including, does it matter if Jesus was married? Which Carol Harder told me was one of her highlights of her tenure there. So it sounds funny, but also like very serious and far-reaching kind of thing. And I wish I had seen that. So many things that I wish I had seen and didn't catch that I hope lots of other people did.
And what was the impact of having those people here in this community?
Well, for one, I think it brought the literary world to Las Vegas, which, you know, doesn't really happen, you know, naturally by normal osmosis. And so hopefully we here get a sort of an injection of that literary, you know, mojo into our civic bloodstream. But one also hopes that the writers and the fellows in particular, after spending their time here, go back to their home turf and might have something interesting to say about Las Vegas that's not the normal sort of, you know, institutional downlook on us, and hopefully continue maybe the thawing that national indifference towards the literary activities of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. What are some of BMI's other literary milestones that they've planted or passed over the last 20 years?
They've done a lot of things. It's not super well known, but it's kind of well known that they hosted North America's first City of Asylum, which offered a safe place for international writers chased out of their homelands because of the things they wrote that met with hostility from the regimes in charge. And that is a terrific thing. And it happened here first in North America instead of all the other places you might think of it happening. They partnered with an organization called Archipelago Books to fund translations of international literature, including Carl Nausgaard's massive My Struggle series, which went six or seven volumes And that's not widely known either. They sort of funded a lot of that translation. So there's that. I think the Believer Festival, back in its heyday, did some really interesting things. You know, why not put a big reading out in the amphitheater at Red Rock Canyon?
Why did you leave your country?
How old were you when you left that home?
Why did you leave your country, your river, your stars, your tongue, the cemetery where your loved ones are buried?
Where did you go?
Why did you leave your country?
There's a magic in the desert. There are things that happen to us here that could only ever happen here.
Did you feel pressure to go?
Nothing was changed except us, but that change was tenuous, and whatever gain had been made needed to be stoked and grown.
That was like a terrific thing. They hosted a really interesting program in a building on the Review Journal campus where the Neon Museum stores old signs. And so they lit all those up and had readings and music and all kinds of presentations. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, sort of gets out of the auditorium panel scenario. And I think they did a good job of sort of taking that out into the community.
You mentioned the City of Asylum Fellow, and I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the current City of Asylum Fellow at BMI is someone from Iran. So you can get a sense of the impact from
yes,
that.
Yes, and there have been plenty of writers who were at risk of serious jail time or worse if they hadn't been offered a shelter here.
Mm. So those are some of the highlights. Let's talk about some of the lowlights, if you will. I'm thinking here of former executive director Joshua Wolfshank's departure and the subsequent loss of the Believer magazine. For folks who might not have been here when that happened, can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, Shank was a controversial figure anyway amongst a lot of people. And during a staff Zoom meeting, he inadvertently or accidentally exposed himself to the people who were on the Zoom. And that led to his pretty quick departure from the organization. But that was followed by a raft of complaints from some of the staff there about his management techniques, toxic management, they called it, that had gone unaddressed by the university. So then that sort of relationship was made complicated by that between the organization and the university. And that was sort of typified by their handling of the Believer magazine, which Shank had bought from its original publishers to have as the organ of the Black Mountain Institute. But it was very costly to run. And so once he was gone, the university, which had pulled the organization back into its orbit a little more closely, decided to get rid of it. And they immediately just sold it to a website that sold sex toys. And eventually it all worked out. You know, the guy very graciously sold it back to the original owners, and it's now doing its thing. But that was a very awkward and unfortunate episode. And it left a strange, you know, residue for a lot of people.
Mm, yeah, quite a scandal, as I recall.
Yes.
In BMI's November announcement about the loss of the Rogers Foundation funding, Executive Director Colette LaBeouf wrote, "Even as we face a new period of institutional change, we believe that BMI has real possibilities now and in the future." Scott, what would the community lose if it lost BMI?
That's a really good question. Obviously, the loss of the fellows, the fellowships, which I hope continue on in some fashion, because I think that's a really good thing to bring those writers here, give them space to write, and also let them experience Las Vegas for what it really is and not the image behind it or in front of it. But I think we will lose an organization that, you know, had the vision and the ambition to bring the literary world to our doorstep in a way that's done, you know, in part, you know, sometimes, you know, the Las Vegas Book Festival does it once a year, the Library District does it periodically, but not with a dedication and, you know, sort of foresight and attention to writers of different levels. Like, sure, they brought a lot of big name writers, but they also brought a lot of emerging writers. Richard Sykin, who's now sort of a top-level poet, came here years ago as an emerging writer. And that sort of process repeats itself throughout the history of BMI. So a lot of writers who wouldn't have that opportunity got that opportunity because of Black Mountain Institute. And I think that would be a real loss to us and to our outreach efforts in the sort of cultural space out there.
Scott Dickensheets is a Las Vegas cultural critic, my former boss, and the editor-at-large of Desert Companion magazine. Scott, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for letting me be here.